Vaimanikasya lavanasharitani shashvat.
Vaimanikasya lavanasharitani shashvat.
Kayanti yatra shamadakshapanani bhartu.
Kayanti yatra shamadakshapanani bhartu.
Antar jalenu vikashan marumadhavinam.
Antar jalenu vikashan marumadhavinam.
Gandhena kandita diga bhiyani lam shikhanta.
Gandhena kandita diga
bhiyani lam
shikhanta. Vaimanika
flying in their airplane.
Salalana
along with their wives.
Charitani
activities.
Shashvat,
eternally.
Gayanti,
sing.
Yatra,
in those Vaikuntha planets.
Shamala,
all honest, all inauspicious qualities. Shapana,
Shapanani,
devoid of.
Bhartu,
of the Supreme Lord.
Antajale,
in the midst of the water.
Anuvikashat,
blossoming.
Madhu,
fragrant, laden with honey.
Madhavinam,
of the Madhavi flowers.
Gandhena,
by the fragrance.
Kandita,
disturbed.
Hiya,
mind.
Api,
even though.
Anilam,
breeze.
Shipanta,
deriding. Translation. In the Vaikuntha planets, the inhabitants fly in their airplanes, accompanied by their wives and consorts, and eternally sing of the character and activities of the Lord, which are always devoid of all inauspicious qualities. While singing the glories of the Lord, they deride even the presence of the blooming Madhavi flowers, which are fragrant and laden with honey. Purport. It appears from this verse that the Vaikuntha planets are full of all opulences. There are airplanes in which the inhabitants travel in the spiritual sky with their sweethearts. There is a breeze carrying the fragrance of blossoming flowers, and this breeze is so nice that it also carries the honey of the flowers. The inhabitants of Vaikuntha, however, are so interested in glorifying the Lord that they do not like the disturbance of such nice breeze while they are chanting the Lord's glories. In other words, they are pure devotees. They consider glorification of the Lord more important than their own sense gratification. In the Vaikuntha planets, there is no question of sense gratification. To smell the fragrance of a blossoming flower is certainly very nice, but it is simply for sense gratification. The inhabitants of Vaikuntha give first preference to the service of the Lord, not their own sense gratification. Serving the Lord in transcendental love yields such transcendental pleasure that, in comparison, sense gratification is counted as insignificant. So Lord Brahma here is describing the spiritual world, because we have just been hearing about the material world, the situation in the material world. Bibi's conception, because of its potency, inauspicious potency, has made the whole universe dark. So now Brahma is taking the opportunity to describe the spiritual world, which is just the opposite. So here then, we see the main thing that is being brought out is the mood of the devotees when they serve the Lord. That they're interested in pleasing the Lord only. They're not interested in pleasing themselves. That's not their interest. pleasing others is always greater. That's why in the human society, that austerity and sacrifice, charity, these things are prominent. These are what makes human society work. Other things may be there, may not be there, depending upon the time, place, and circumstance. But austerity, charity, sacrifice, these always remain. So we see as these, then the principle of all these three is you're pleasing someone else. You're performing your prescribed duties. Why would you do this but to please someone else? Sacrifice, then this means specifically you're doing your duties to please the other person. And charity, you're sharing what you have with others for their pleasure. So this is the natural human position, the natural human element, as we see here in Vaikuntha. We always have to remember that the material world is a reflection of the spiritual world. So this dichotomy that is generated in some people's minds that, well, you either have spiritual or you have Vedic is foolishness. Vedic is the spiritual world. It's just a matter of, in the spiritual world, they follow it to please Krishna. On the material world, you can follow it to please Krishna or not. That's the difference. But to make a distinction between them, that is for the uninformed. So we see here is that the same things that go on in the material world, the reason they go on here is because they're from the spiritual world. It mentions here, accompanied by their wives and consorts, the residents of Vaikuntha are flying in the airplanes. Prabhupada then here, in the purport, then inhabitants travel in the spiritual sky with their sweethearts. He could have very easily emotionally crimped this part of the verse. Right? Shut it down, close it into a little nice, hard, little tight, stone box. But he didn't. He could have just left it in wives. But he didn't. He said, or he could have said concert. No, he said sweethearts. Right? So this means that this concept of devotees and the closeness of relationships that they have with other devotees, that remains. The difference is here in Vaikuntha, it is only for the pleasure of Krishna. They're not interested in anything else. So now here, what are you going to get more from? They're spending their time with their sweethearts or smelling the nice breeze that has some flower fragrance in it? Right? Of the two, it chose the one. It didn't even mention the other. Right? Because if they're not even interested in the one, why would they be interested in the other? So it is simply the nice transcendental relationship between devotees. It's very personal. It's not some mystic, dry thing. Right? Like you always notice that whenever the non-devotees try to depict in some dramatic form those who are having some variety of spiritual position or realization or experience, they always make them look non-normal, right? You know, they all have to sit around with these bug eyes all the time and, you know, and stuff like that. You know, their hair has to be in this monstrous kind of, like, fluff. You know, something weird has to be there because it's not normal. This is the impersonal concept. Personal means that we're people. There's relationships, there's interaction, but the point is the Lord is the center of all that interaction. It doesn't mean other things are not there, right? It means it's all connected to Krishna, or it's not noticed. Here the absorption is so much that they're talking about the Lord, so when they smell the breeze that is so wonderful, it may distract the mind for a moment and they become annoyed because they were doing something more important to them, describing the glories of the Lord. Right? Does this make sense? So this is the position of Vaikuntha. When this is reflected into the material world, then this is still the standard. But if one is unable to attain that standard immediately, then one connects one's life to Krishna through the Vedic culture. Therefore, the Vedic culture becomes the medium to connect to Krishna. Because it's scientific. The Vedic culture is the philosophy in practical application. You cannot separate the two. Because technically, when we look at it, we say the spiritual realm, what do we mean? We mean it's transcendental. That's actually what we mean. So it's on the spiritual platform, we mean they are not affected by the modes of nature. It does not mean bhakti. Does that make sense? Same time as it does. When we refer to that, we mean the spiritual world, we mean the spiritual planets where devotion is performed. But the impersonalists are also spiritual. They are also transcendentalists. But that's not their interest. Otherwise, why are we describing this here in the pages of Bhagavatam about the spiritual world? Everybody accepts that it's transcendental. But not everyone accepts that it's personal, full of relationships, full of interaction, full of culture. Therefore, where did this culture come from? It came from the spiritual world. It is the lifestyle of those, in other words, the Vedic culture is the lifestyle of those in the spiritual world. You don't separate them. Varnashram Dharma, Sanatana Dharma, are the same thing. Sanatana Dharma means as varnashram is properly used in the Lord's service in its natural state. Varnashram can be used to mean also those who are following the spiritual culture without Krishna in mind. Right? Does that make sense? The person is performing an activity that would be devotional. But let us say that they're doing it in such a way to draw attention to themselves that they may be very religious or to get some benefit from it. What do you call that? What? Yes, karma nishtha bhakti. Some variety that is not pure bhakti. So it's still spiritual, but at the same time it's got the material tint. But the form of it looks the same. Right? So varnashram can be engaged in the Lordship or not. It depends on the consciousness of the individual. Right? We're talking about consciousness here. We're not talking about the form. Right? The form of varnashram does not make varnashram. Why is it there? Because it's what's reflected from the spiritual world. Spiritual world, they do certain things, the way they live, the way they dress, the way they act. That's reflected here. Then it's written down and called varnashram. Over there, it's just the spiritual world, the spiritual culture. So that's the difference, is that this is now the standard that we're trying to get to. Because it doesn't matter, you're in God's creation. The cosmic creation is just as God can manifest in this Bhagavan form, Paraman, or means the Bhagavan or Brahman aspect anywhere. Same way as the devotee can manifest transcendental consciousness anywhere, whether he's in the spiritual world or in the material world. So that means then this, what is given in this verse, this is the standard that we're so absorbed in Krishna that we're not interested in the sense gratification that is going on. It's not that they don't smell anything. They smell it, but they're not interested. Right? They're with their wives, but they're only interested in discussing about Krishna. Right? They're flying around in airplanes, but they're still only interested in talking about Krishna. Right? Does that make sense? That's the standard. Then if not, then we take those things that do distract us from Krishna and connect them to Krishna. Right? Then that aspect we're talking about, the method of, this method of connecting, that's where we emphasize varnashram. Otherwise we just say spiritual culture. Does that make sense? Because of the element of performance of duty through intelligence, or through practice, where we're trying to do it for the benefit of someone else, and ideally completely for the benefit of someone else, and that someone else is Krishna. Right? Then, in that field of activities where one can take it from the same activities for myself to where I'm willing to engage it in Krishna's service, well, I'm willing to do it according to Krishna's direction, where I'm willing to then do it for Krishna's satisfaction without it being my satisfaction, but it's an area I like to deal in to the point where I only want to please Krishna. That field, that's the Vedic culture. Right? That's where your Pancharatra and your Bhagavat and your Varnashram considerations come into play. Bhagavat platform, we're looking at it right here in the Bhagavatam. But these others are for someone who's not on that platform. So it's simple. Right? If you're transcendental, you can stick to Bhagavat if you like. If you're not transcendental, then you have the Pancharatra and the Vedic systems to get you to that platform. That's all they're for. They're not for some other reason. They're not to make you feel bad. They're there to help you go back to Godhead. That's what it's for. So here we see is that these devotees don't care for themselves, are very much into personal relation and interaction with other devotees, but based on service to Krishna. So that position of the devotees then is what Brahma is recommending here. Right? Otherwise they're so caught up in their various duties that they sometimes forget they're supposed to be connected to the Lord. And for the Lord, that's what's interesting. Right? Is that you're only absorbed in Him. That's what makes it nice. Other things are there, great. But when you're fully absorbed in the Lord, see everything in relation with the Lord, that's what makes the Lord actually very happy. Any questions on this? Yes. How do you situate yourself in Varnashram if you're not born in Varnashram? Okay. Now, difficulty comes, this is a problem. It means misunderstanding, because the Vedic consideration of Varnashram is guna and karma. It's not connected to your birth. You know what I'm saying? Because of the commonality of the consciousness of the parents, right? That's why they're together. They have a similar nature. Because of the, therefore the similarity between the child and the parents. Right? Does that make sense? But that's not the final point. It's normal. Right? But that's not what it's based on. Because Varnashram is not the form. Varnashram is the mentality. That has to be understood. That's why it's so misunderstood, Varnashram. Just like, what is your ashram now?
your ashram.
You don't have an ashram, but you want an ashram. Okay, so what ashram is that? Your ashram fits to your body. Your age of the body. So you just kind of pack it in or something. I mean, you use old newspaper, you use styrofoam balls, or shredded paper is pretty good to get a pretty tight fit. Why would you change from the first ashram to the second ashram? What has changed? And I'm saying it's the same body. You're saying it fits the same body. This psychology, yes. Now, this is intelligence. So Varnashram is dealing with the psychophysical and spiritual need of the living entity, the conditioned living entity, in such a way that they can connect whatever is important to them to the Lord. That is Varnashram. So it's based on the inherent nature that is there in both the constitutional and conditional state of the living entity. That's Varnashram. That takes then the form of four ashrams and four varnas to accomplish this. But that's the form. It's not the Varnashram. Right? How can we say this? Brahma Samhita states that the residents of the spiritual world, depending upon their mood of love towards Krishna, then they manifest a particular form to complement that mood. Therefore, Mother Yashoda looks like what she looks like. And is in the situation she's in because of her mood. So, which is important, the form or the mood? The mood. So, that's why in here in the spirit, material world, it's the same thing. The mood is what's important. You understand the mood, you actually understand what is culture, what is varnasha. You don't understand the mood, you have missed the boat completely. But better you're following the form of it, as long as you're not bothering anybody with it. At least then it matches in with others who are understand the mood and are following it. Does that make sense? You're not sure. What are you not sure if it makes sense or not? It's like this. You have the mentality of wanting to be in a family situation. Therefore, the form of being a grihastha matches that. Does that make sense? So which is more important? The form of it or the mood? They're connected, and which comes first? The mood comes first, right? So if the mood's not there, you don't call it grihastha. Does that make sense? Just because you're in a family, vanaprasthas can also live in the family. Same house. But they're called vanaprasthas. The young children are not grihastas. They're living in the same house. So what's the difference? The mood. Or let's be even more specific. Let us take one person. This person, yeah, let's take so that it'll catch everyone's attention. We take a girl. Okay? Now, this girl is in the house. And there's lots of men in this house. But some see her as daughter, some as wife, and some as mother. It's the same person, same body. What's the difference? Because the form is the same. What changes?
The mood.
Yes. So if one can understand this, that is varnasham. Therefore, if you have the ideal that the form can be manifest nicely, great. But if not, you work on the form. You have the form, you actually have what varnasham is for. You don't, you missed it. Now does it make more sense? Kind of. It makes sense. Okay. Another part of this. But say the part very directly.
Varnashram
is eternal.
Is this considering what?
Is it considering the individual person?
Yeah. And then the person is divine yoga and not following the individuals. That means that varnashram for individuals covered.
Is varnashram covered when in Kali Yuga people don't follow the rules? Considering the individual. Okay. The soul is eternal. Right? Is it individual? Okay. Can we describe a nature of the soul? But are the individual souls still individual? Yes. So in the same way is we can describe varnashram. Four varnas, four ashrams, male, female, you know, wealth, age, all these things. They have their generic nature, and at the same time they have their individual nature, manifestation of that nature. Varnashram in its actual form only considers the individual, because otherwise where does it start from? We're talking varnashram, we're starting with you here. We're not starting with something else. Right? So the point is the individual is always considered. Those that only apply the principle and not the detail of the individual, they don't know varnashram. In fact, they don't really know anything practical. It has to be individual. Right? It's the way everything works. Right? So, it must be individual. It's always taken into consideration, but it has to be based on Guru Sadhu and Shastra. So if someone doesn't follow it, it's still there. Prabhupada says the modern culture still follows varnashram, but it's not very scientific. In other words, people do things they shouldn't do or don't do things they should do. But you still have, why is it we can say intellectuals or teachers or priests, doctors, you know, and as a class they're considered in that group, or administrators, business persons, artists. How do we get that? How do we get someone who's unmarried, a student, married persons, retired persons, renounced persons? Why do we even have words in English? Because that's there. It's already there. All Prabhupada is doing is trying to make you aware of what's already there. Just like you have the bees, they have their society. It's just the way it is. So humans have their society. But bees don't choose, humans can. So now it's just a matter of how much human you want to be. You want to have human potential, or you actually want to be human? Does that make sense? Right? So practical means to be human. Right? I have potential to start a business here. I got the capital, I got the facility, I got everything there, the people, the manpower. But if I don't do it, then is that called intelligent? No. So if your business doesn't become practical and make profit, can you say I've done a good job? No. So if varnashram is not practically working,
Whose fault is it?
Varnasha.
Oh, the fault was the capital. It just sat there on his table. It didn't jump off the table and run over to the investors' arms and jump into them and say, put me into, you know, stocks. Right? Isn't it? So that's the point. Varnashram is there. It's the nature of a human being. Human being doesn't apply it to the point of practice that it practically works. Whose fault is it? Not Varnashram's, not Kali Yuga's, not Krishna's, not anybody else. It's the individual who's trying to apply it and is messing it up. It's their fault. Right? The teacher can teach you what to do, but you still have to do it. Therefore, Prabhupada gives the example of the plane. You can be taught how to fly the airplane, but you have to fly it yourself. So that's the practical point. You can fly the airplane means you know practically flying. You can't fly the airplane. Don't do the prima donna and blame the floor. You know what I'm saying? We say it as a joke. I've seen it. You know, it's a smooth, you can't get a smoother floor than a ballet floor. And when something goes wrong, the prima donna blames the floor. Right? And therefore we call that particular kind of lady what? A prima donna. Right? So therefore someone who's applying it blows it and then blames the thing itself is what? A prima donna. At best. You understand? So therefore the idea is that we have to be able to practically apply it. If we don't practically apply it, we haven't finished the work. So saying we tried it or it's not practical means you're not working hard enough. Right? But time, place, and circumstance are considered. That means the mood of Varnashram is kept, but the application matches the time, place, and circumstance. The form may be there, may not be there, but it's done. The work is done. Does that make sense? Picking a thorn out with a thorn, yes. Good point that's been brought up is that we give the example that the Grihastha Ashram is used like a thorn to take out a thorn. At the same time, as we see here, then in the spiritual world, that they're Grihasthas. Basically speaking, they're all Grihasthas, right? Except for the four Kumaras and Narad Muni, basically they're all Grihasthas. So this seems contradictory. And they say sweethearts here, so there's some affection, there's, you know, what's going on here. The bottom line is these qualities we talk about, the quality itself's not the problem. Attachment's not the problem. It's that you're not attached to Krishna. That's the problem. Right? We use it as a generic thing. Oh, you're attached, Prabhu. That's not the problem. Right? Oh, you know, you're just doing what your wife says. You're attached, Prabhu. That's not the problem. The problem is his doing what his wife wants connected to Krishna. That's why Varnashram and many times other leadership interactions fail, because they don't hit the nail on the head. You know what I'm saying? We make serious dents in the piece of wood by the head of the hammer, yes, you know, so we try, but the nail hasn't been hit. So the point is because we identify with that, we don't see the difference. Therefore, we club them together for our understanding. But they're two separate things. You know what I'm saying? We identify, just like you take business and a businessman, and the mentality of it, they say it's synonymous, but it's two things. You have economics, and how economics work. I can teach it to anybody. But to have the mentality of someone who can wade into the economic field and, you know, do something with it, that's a mentality. Right? How do you tell the difference between the guy from the Harvard School of Business Management with the MBA that is sitting behind the big desk in the suit with all the phones, right? And the, you know, fat guy in the dhoti chewing pond sitting over in the corner, right? Which one's the businessman? The fat guy in the corner. Because he has the mentality of business. The other one only knows the business field, but he still has to be told what to do. You understand? So therefore, attachment's not the problem, but because we think they're the same thing because of our simplistic mentality. Therefore, we deal with it that way. Like kids are simple, so we deal with them as kids. You know? Therefore, we talk in things they can understand, in concepts, how they think. We start there. That's called practical. So we do that in our day-to-day life, but we won't do it with the spiritual life. We won't do it with the philosophy, with the culture. You talk at the level that the person's at. The person's attached to his family. We don't go, oh, that's all nonsense. Right? No. It may be nonsense, but that doesn't matter. What does it matter? The point is you want to get this living entity to the transcendental platform. So by telling him it's nonsense, is it doing anything? No. Therefore, it's a matter of their misconception on how they're viewing what's important to them. Their family is important to them, it's how they view it. Residents of Vaikunthas have families. But those families are all connected to Krishna, so there's no problem. The bottom line of anything is if it's in connection to Krishna, to please Krishna as a person, it's perfect. Anything else is less than perfect, or not perfect at all. That's Krishna's opinion. Right? Does that make sense? So, therefore, we use these. That's why it's called vichar. In the philosophy, you view it from different angles. See, because we view it from the one angle, the thorn and the thorn taking out the thorn, it makes sense. It's logical and yes, okay. But then, that works here, but then when we apply it in another situation, it falls apart. Right? So here, Vaikuntha, well, how does that work? Right? Why Vaikuntha? It'll fall apart here. If we see a nice Vyasa family and they're happy together, they interact nicely, right? They're happy, they physically interact nicely, you know, according to the etiquettes. They're bright, they're happy. They will be criticized by other members of the community who are not happy. They will be, guaranteed. So we don't even have to go to Vaikuntha to get this problem to come up. Right? But we don't want to recognize this. And we definitely don't want anyone pointing this out to us. Because then it hurts. And we don't like anything that hurts. We want to always be happy, but we don't want to follow the process that will make us happy. And we definitely don't want anybody else being happy. So it's a very, 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 very unfortunate, strange position to put ourselves in. But it is popular. Right? So therefore, that's why vichara is there. It seems to be contradictory, but it's not. Right? Why are Arjuna's questions coming up in the Gita? He's very convinced by one argument. Totally. Right? Krishna says, you're not this body, you're the spirit soul. Why are you engaging in, you know, activities, looking at it from the material platform? He goes, yeah, you're right, I'm heading to the forest. And Krishna says, wait a minute. You know, but you have your duties to perform. Then Arjuna says that this is contradictory. So now Krishna has to explain karma yoga. Right? Does that make sense? So that's the whole idea. Contradiction is there because of us, not because of the spiritual world. The books aren't contradictory. The spiritual world is not contradictory. Prabhupada does not contradict himself. The acharyas don't contradict themselves. Prabhupada does not contradict the acharyas, or the acharyas contradict Prabhupada. Who is seeing it contradictorily is us. Understand? Therefore, the philosophy is given from so many angles. Otherwise, all we have to do is always remember Krishna, never forget him. That's it. The gopis use it, it works for them. Right? So that's all that's necessary. But because we have so many values that are, the values themselves are contradictory. Right? Like that. But, so therefore so many angles of philosophy must be presented. So it looks very vast. It is vast, but I'm saying it looks so complex, but it's only explaining, always remember Krishna, never forget. That's all it's talking about. Does that make sense? So then we'll end here. If anyone has any further questions, we'll continue after 5 minutes. Gantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srimad Prabhupada ki, Samadvipa Bhaktivrinda ki, Jai Nitai Gaurav Vijanam ki.